For example, many intellectuals spend a lot of time talking about the need to re-emphasize ethics and their religious roots in guiding how life should be organized, where Russia should go. Some people, for example, were very interested in what were called neo-Kantian ethics, the ideal that there existed in the world universals, ethical imperatives, above all, the duty to respect human beings, an idea we've seen so often, ethical imperatives which were argued were rooted in the very nature of the human mind. This was neo-Kantianism. Very influential, similarly ethical, was Tolstoyanism, which attracted many followers before his death in 1910 and after. These Tolstoyans were inspired by Tolstoy's promotion of an ethic of Christian living, simple living, of love. And like them, they rejected the need for priests and sacraments and liturgy in favor of a personal understanding of God and a focus on ethical living. Many others, though, were more likely to emphasize mysticism, movements with names like theosophy and anthroposophy and various other currents of spirituality, or what some have called the occult, were very popular, including astrology and seances, as in Western Europe at the time. And these spiritual seekers were seeking somehow to re-enchant the world, to see the invisible world, the mysteries of the world that lay beyond and beneath and behind the material life that seemed to be so present. Many turned to Eastern religions. Hinduism, Buddhism became quite fascinating to many. And many began to talk about the times they were living in as best described in the book of Revelation, as about a coming apocalypse. And this became a subject of much discussion. Amazingly, even Marxists, in particular the most radical Marxists, those who followed Lenin's Bolshevism, were, to Lenin's great horror, affected by all this religious and spiritual searching. In fact, in particular, a very influential group of Marxists, including the very influential and popular writer Maxim Gorky, and the future Commissar of Education in the Soviet government, a man named Anatoly Lunacharsky, began talking in the years after 1905 about the need to bring a religious spirit, religious feeling to Marxism itself. They said the trouble with Marxism is it's too cold. It's too rationalistic. It's too scientific. What it needs to do is do for people what religion does. Give them a sense of passion, of wonderment, of moral certainty. Connect politics with the inner life, with the inner soul, and most importantly, offer a sure promise of deliverance from evil and even from death. And they called this socialist religious viewpoint or argument or movement God-building, a sort of answer to larger God-seeking. It wasn't about finding God. God didn't exist, the Marxists said. It was about creating God. Now, what I've described so far occurred largely outside the church, even opposed to it. The church, too, was changing in these years. For example, individual priests often joined intellectuals in various public discussions of religion and spirituality. Some clergy began to talk about the need to free the church from excessive state control, to replace the synod in particular by their own patriarch, a post that hadn't existed since Peter the Great abandoned it and abolished it. Finally, some priests began to innovate in tradition in a way in common with the God-seeking movement of the time. The most notable of these was the very popular priest, Father John of Kronstadt, being an island not far from St. Petersburg. For Father John, who attracted thousands of followers from all over the country, it was essential to get back to Orthodox spirituality. Something had been lost, he argued. And he encouraged his parishioners and those who came on pilgrimage to him not to just passively attend church, as it seemed to him many were doing, but to partake in with passion in the sacraments, in particular in communion and confession. In fact, many Russians began to view Father John as a saint. Even some spoke of him as Christ himself returned to earth to bring the church alive. Now, these movements of God-seeking and God-building that I've described are mainly among the educated, and yet there was also a popular, a lower-class version of this same religious renaissance. We see, for example, beginning in the 1890s, a growth of Tolstoyan communities among poor people in cities and in the countryside.